He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Monday, September 22nd. How are we doing? Good to have you. Good to be here on what should be a wonderful two-hour show taking up to Monday Night Football between the Baltimore Ravens and the Detroit Lions. Good to be here. Glad to be here. Fantastic show ahead of it, but let's set you up with what we got on the top of the show here for you right at 3 o'clock. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us from the previous hour. Tony D's show, the Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3. Pumping up my ego before the show. Love to have it. Love to hear from it. And Tony, keep it coming. Anyways, you can listen to his show, my show, and Palmetto's show on the ESPN Fresno app or the 1430ESPNFresno.com website. That is the way to reach us all there and listen to us live and on demand in our respective time. Like I said, excited to be back on a Monday. Plenty to react to. If you have a reaction, obviously, we want to talk to you. Lee's Air Hotline is the way to get to us. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show here on the Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Lee's Air Weather Check sits at 90 degrees at the temperature right now, 91 potentially on the horizon for the Central Valley. Could get up to 97 tomorrow, and then we dip back into more manageable 80-degree temperatures for the foreseeable future. The hope is it's a little less muggy outdoor for some people. Right now, 34% humidity. Just do not feel good about that. The hope is that can die down a little bit. When we get to the later days of the week. I'm starting to regret having this rain come through. So, but anyways, I digress. Good to have you. Good to be here. Like I said, excited to talk some sports for you here. And we got a fantastic show to dive into, of course. We've got, obviously, the Fresno State game to talk about. And we'll take a majority of our time to talk about that game on Saturday/Sunday morning in the early wee hours of our day. And it was worth the wait, worth the time to stay up for in terms of that. We'll react to the weekend in terms of football, even a little baseball. I'll give baseball a little bit of a shot because this has been a wild finish to the baseball season with a week left to go. Just wanted to go over some scenarios there. We'll do who's been naughty, who's been nice. We'll do a full recap, like I said, of the weekend and get you set for Monday Night Football, Major Wager, me and Ed's Monday Night Football over there at me and Ed's Victory Grill. Ravens, Lions, tonight's on 1430, starting at 5 p.m. All right, good to be here. Like I said, good to have everyone. Excited to dive into all of the day's topics here. And can't do it without a great producer on the other side of the glass over here who I think just got our stream going here. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. ESPN Fresno is the location of those places where you can watch those programs. Excited, like I said, to have my man who is here solo doloing today behind the glass, but just like old times. Jorge in on this Monday. Jorge, the question I always have on my mind after we come in on a Monday is, how was your weekend?
Sorry about that.
That's a false start.
Pretty good. enjoyed watching a lot of sports, you know, as always. But I enjoyed it. It was nice. It wasn't too hot, but it felt good. And, you know, enjoy the wins by the Dogs and some soccer teams and
your Niners.
The Niners. Wow. Yeah.
Crazy.
That one. Yeah.
We'll get into it all. I don't know where to dive into first with
didn't
these.
Didn't expect it, but I'm glad it happened.
Hey, I picked him to win. I did pick him to win in our Benatti Blitz last week, so I'm taking credit for that.
I was just hoping it happened.
Yeah, you certainly were. Like I said, we'll dive into it all with everything on the show. Just a reminder, once again, me and Ed's Victory Grill, that is where Major Wager is. Carter and Joe are heading over there pretty soon here, and they'll get all ready to go and people checked in. I will hit there as soon as I wrap up at 5 o'clock here at the studio. But Jorge, what a weekend. Like we said, you locked in on some soccer. You said you locked in into some football. I know for a fact you probably didn't lock into the baseball side of things. That was rough on the Giants side. So we will we'll refrain from that conversation.
I did watch a little bit of the Saturday game.
Yeah.
I saw it, you know, how it was going to end. So
yeah,
I moved on to football.
Moved on. You were into F1 racing this weekend as well?
Yeah. That was early in the morning Sunday. I was woke up too early for that.
Sleep schedule all messed up, right?
Oh, kind of. A little bit. Yeah. I did come in like 10 minutes later today, but it's all right. It happens.
Up is down. Down is up. All of it is all messed up in terms of it. Like you said, we everybody had their way of watching, I think, the Fresno State game, and that's where I want to start with it. We everybody had their own different style of it, how they set up. I want to know how people's setup sounded like when it came to watching this game that kicked off at 9 p.m. at night. Jorge, I remember that meme that was out on social media quite a little bit of time ago. Like, you wouldn't understand the asylum I grew up in, or what was the line? It's the Taylor Swift song line. You know, you wouldn't last a day in the asylum I lived in, or something like that. I think that's whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about, right? On the social media side.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
To me, 9 p.m. kickoffs is like I said, you wouldn't last a day in the asylum that I created. Which was me watching football from the Central Time Zone for how many years, including Fresno State football. 9 p.m. start times, man, that was the norm for me. And so I was locked in, ready to go. I didn't feel tired at all throughout the whole football game on Saturday. And how was your setup for Saturday? Did you set me up? Did you have to make some food, or was it because it was so late you had some other options? How did you set it up?
So I cooked dinner, and then my friend hit me up, like, if I wanted to go out. And I was like, oh, bro, I'm kind of staying in to watch the games.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And then I was like, do you want to come watch the games with me? And he's like, sure.
Okay.
So I was like, ah, cool. So, you know, got some chips, get some dip. And I started watching the USC game. And I was going back and forth between the soccer game.
That one got a little close.
Yeah. It was a good game. It was a good game. But, yeah, you can tell USC, you know, just has better players.
Yeah.
You know, the talent there is a little bit different. Then the Fresno State game started, and I missed the first quarter because I was trying to watch it in, like, this weird, like, website.
Well, because we were all trying to figure out the TV situation. I saw so many people on social media just trying to figure it out. I had some friends figuring it out. Thankfully. And I mentioned this on my show, I think Friday, Jorge. I had no idea. I didn't know anybody that had Spectrum Sports in the area. But somehow, some way, he was just right under my nose. Because our own Asa, who comes on every Tuesday.
Your own best friend had it.
Had the channel via the DirecTV gods. And he was the saving grace. And the friend group went over, watched the game on the channel proper. So no worry about any connection, no worry about AirPlay, no worry about Chromecast. We had a lot. No worry about Mountain West app, anything like that. We had the channel proper, and we were locked the F in.
I was trying to watch it, you know, aircasting it through my phone, and I'm like, wait, man, this isn't working. So then I just, because I have the Mountain West on my app on my phone, on my TV, so I'm like, what if I just go here? And it, there it was. So I just put it on the Mountain West app and saw the whole thing.
There it was. For me personally, one of our friends is recovering from a surgery. So they had a surgery the day before. Standard operation. They didn't need nothing emergency or anything like that. They just needed to get done. And I remember having the conversation. I was like, hey, you realize that the Fresno State San Jose or Fresno State Hawaii game is the next day and it starts at 9. And they're like, I'm going to get my nap in then. You know, like, we're going to keep you up. And I'll tell you what, props to them. Post-op surgery, 24 hours later, they stayed up the entire game in a recliner.
Nice.
Way to go. And I'm shouting out my friend there on that. I don't want to reveal medical anything for her, but I don't want to bring that up. But I just wanted to give a ambiguous shout-out there. But in terms of my setup to the game, of course, I stopped by the grocery store at around 8 p.m., I grabbed myself a couple things of cookies because I think cookies was the snack of choice for the game. I grabbed a couple tall beverages to enjoy for the game. I went Cayman Jack, by the way. You ever have Cayman Jacks?
They're some good, what are they called? Like tequila beverages?
Oh, yeah. Margarita. Mixed kind of thing.
I mean, they're mixed with like a bunch of other stuff, but
yeah, it's kind of the basis of a margarita in a can, which is like, you know, it was just strawberry flavor, but I like them a lot. Grabbed my friend who forgot to grab his bevs. I grabbed him a couple twisted teas, a little couple half and half twisted teas. Then I went to the Taco Bell drive-thru and proceeded to get myself a combo of some sorts with a Baja Blast. Got there, realized they had a Baja Blast and two margarita Cayman Jacks, and I tried to mix one of them, and it just totally overpowers the Baja. I was very sad. I thought it was going to be a much smarter decision than it. Regardless, it was nice.
I think you have to use some sort of, like,
yeah,
spirit.
Just was sugar. It was just simply sugar. Regardless, I was locked in, and maybe that's why I wasn't tired, because the game kicked off. We were off and running as a team. Fresno State obviously getting going with their first drive. Felt great. How about 13 plays, 56 yards? I kind of want to do this drive by drive to kind of recap the game, because it just felt like that's the best way to just kind of go over it, right? Because I think some people, first of all, didn't really get a chance to watch it. There's no replay out there for some people to enjoy. So for those that fell asleep, this is kind of your little recap of it. 13 plays, 56 yards. Unfortunately, Dylan Lynch, the clock struck midnight for him, and he missed his opening field goal. Of course, Fresno State couldn't get things going on the offensive side after that. But then a turnover. Hawaii fumbled the football in their own territory. We take over. We stall out right there at the 18-yard line of Hawaii. Some penalties causing some issues. Bulldogs kick a field goal, miss it because I think Dylan Lynch slipped on the play. So what could have been a 6-0 start for the Fresno State Bulldogs turned into no score going into the second quarter. After that, Hawaii had to punt at midfield. Really, really good punt because that put us back at the 3-yard line for Fresno State. By the way, that was a strange – I don't know if you – Jorge, if you have a photographic memory of this game like I do, I'm wondering if you remember. There was a weird, strange part of that punt situation in that play that led to the safety. I want to point this out real quick. Stop that. We had a fake. It was like a fake. Try to look, pretend you're catching the punt on one side of the field. The punt ends up on the other side of the field. It actually proved to be a horrible play for Fresno State.
It looked good.
It looked good because they got him.
They got the other team. They got Hawaii to go to that right. way.
Yeah,
but
they put the ball out the three.
Yeah, instead of going to the where it's supposed to go to the backfield.
So I don't know what was. I think we were trying to pop something, or we were trying to have the ball. It was just a bad bounce, and we were trying to get a touchback. Yeah,
because on the other ones they were getting caught. Catching in the 10 and the 5.
Yeah.
And the punter was really good.
Okay. So just unlucky bounce there.
Extremely unlucky.
Yeah.
Extremely unlucky. I mean, that play worked perfectly. The only thing that didn't work perfectly was it bounced, and instead of bouncing back to the to the back of the infield. It went out in the, at the third.
So at the point out, at this point in the football game, it's nothing. And I can pinpoint three plays on special teams that did not work the way it wanted to work for the Bulldogs at that point. And we knew how big special teams was for winning football games. We saw it 2 weeks ago with Oregon State. And so when Fresno State makes mistakes or just can't execute on three different special team plays and we're only a little bit into the second quarter, I felt like at that point I was like, ooh, this game getting a little dicey. And of course, the very next play after that ball goes out of bounds, Jorge, is the safety. which EJ Warner fumbled, sack, and then the ball recovered in the end zone. So I want to put the safety. Obviously, Fresno State didn't block very well in that play, but I think I could contribute that safety to just a little bit of lack of focus on the special teams side. So special teams was kind of killing us there at the beginning of that game, if I want to dissect it here to the beginning. Do you agree with me on that?
Kind of, but I feel like that specific play was just really unlucky for the.
It was unlucky, but
because it worked perfectly. It took the guys, the guys from Hawaii out of it, and then the ball just didn't bounce back like it was. They wanted it to.
Yeah.
If you have another guy out there, maybe he could have caught it and run it, or he could have caught it and gained some more yards. I don't know, but it feels like you try something new that you know is gonna work, and it works. However, it doesn't for other circumstances just didn't go their way,
but football is results based and you have to go by the results based situation, and that's what it was. We were put at the three because of certain situations on special teams that didn't quite make it happen for the Bulldogs. So after that, Hawaii has to go three and out and punt. Fresno State then has the infamous play as they're moving down the football field, and the infamous little outlet to Speedy Luke that appeared to look like it went forward, in my opinion, but the call stayed on the field of did not go forward. They let it play out. They recover the fumble. They then score 9-0 Hawaii, and we're surely that is moving forward in some form or fashion. And the evidence apparently was not there, and in the criminal court of law, Fresno State was guilty of a fumble, and it was 9-0 like that.
I just got to say that there was some horrible officiating.
Yeah.
Horrible throughout the entirety of the game. And it felt like, I don't know if this was some B team or just they were in Hawaii and they weren't into it. But my God, it was just, I don't know what was happening.
I understand.
And it was both teams. It wasn't just one. It was just both teams.
I understand you have to let the play out if you want to do that, but I don't understand why we don't have an ability to look at that play a little bit better than what the capabilities of the camera was. But to me, it looked like EJ threw it at like the half-yard line, and it got to the yard line in front of him with Speedy Luke. But optical illusions, all that stuff. 9-0. Bulldogs are down. And this felt like, oh, man, here we go. This is going to take a miracle in terms of it. Fresno State, after that fumble touchdown, fantastic drive. How about six plays, 57 yards? I think it was the Cam Beachin catch and run that got it down to the – oh, no, excuse me, that's later. EJ Warner finds the tight end, right, for a touchdown to cut it to 9-7 on that play. Richie Anderson, 13 yards. How about a 56-second, six-play, 57-yard drive for the Bulldogs to cut the lead to 9-7? I thought that was, theoretically, I think that was the most important offensive drive for the Bulldogs in the game, was to respond after giving up that touchdown.
Yeah, they got the confidence back.
Yeah.
They realized they weren't, this wasn't over and they were still in the game pretty much. Completely.
Hawaii at 38 seconds, then through a pick, Cam Braca, nice interception, just coming across the side of the field, able to keep himself in bounds. That was an underrated interception.
I saw that completely.
Yeah.
I saw that completely. He knew exactly where he was going to throw it, and he just stepped in front of it.
Clock runs out of half, so it's 9-7. Bulldogs it down to the half. You still feel like, okay, we're kind of in it, and I think about the second half play of the Bulldogs here, and I think we got plenty of time to make things happen. Who got the ball to start the second half? Was it Hawaii? And Hawaii took a long time on a drive to start as far as the kickoff return. It looked like Yeah, start of the half, kickoff. No, they punted. Then we had to punt back and forth a couple times. Hawaii then gets into field goal range. I mentioned about the kicker, which, by the way, shout out Hawaii for letting Kansei Matsuzawa wear his Japanese letters on the back of his shirt jersey. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was asking my friend, is that Japanese?
Yeah.
Look Japanese, and he was like, yeah.
So Hawaii goes up 12-7 at that point. Then Fresno State, of course, gets going on another drive. Cam Beach in the big catch and run gets to a setup for Bryson Donaldson to find the end zone. We go up 13-12. We went for two, right, after that play? I believe we did.
Right, and I think we didn't make that one.
No, it was incomplete to Ezekiel Avit. So 13-12 at that point. Hawaii then bounces back with another 52-yard field goal, first 50-yarder for Matsuzawa. I once again said that guy is a weapon in terms of that for that. So I know Tony boasts about me knowing some things, but I was knowing some things about this football game. I'm just saying. After that, the Bulldogs offense – gets into another position here after an interception. Bulldogs had the punt. Interception by Zillian Hamilton leads to a Bulldogs field goal attempt that finally hit Dylan Lynch getting on the board. That was important. I think he needed one to go through for him to see that happen. So up 16-15, and then the play of the game, Kavion Thunderbird, pick six in the middle of the field. You saw him jump the route. And then how about the giddy up to go through everybody? That dude had acceleration beyond anything I could see out of a linebacker. That dude had a special play. I was waiting for it because I think I saw an interception hit off his hands before that play, a couple quarters before. Yeah. He also had one in Southern, or against Georgia Southern. Then he almost had a pick in as well. He was waiting to have one of those. And at that point, I felt like we were winning the football game no matter what. At that point, up eight, that's where I felt like the things would go well for us. So
I did feel like there was an advantage there, that it was going to be difficult for Hawaii to get over.
Hawaii, of course, makes it dramatic. They score a touchdown with 10 seconds to go. Simeon Harris with a fantastic knockaway to ice out the game in the two-point conversion. I still was like, man, let's recover this onside kick. I would just hate it if we let him get into field goal range and then we lose in a heartbreak fashion, but we do not. Bulldogs 23, Hawaii 21, and that is a full game recap of what is a arduous but amazing win on the islands. One that I think a lot of people will remember for a long time, because you don't win those games. Fresno State, Jorge, doesn't win these football games. You know, I talked about it on Friday. It's either blowout or Hawaii winning. It's never Hawaii close and Fresno State winning. It's never that. And the Bulldogs exercised some demons on Saturday. I thought it was incredible resolve. You take what you get on the islands. You don't judge based off the performance. Weird things happen. And Fresno State got the best shot they did in that football game. And guess what? They get the rest up for 2 weeks and go play Nevada in 12 days. They're in as good a position as a football team as I've seen in quite some time for the Fresno State Bulldogs. But the question now is, can they not squander this opportunity? That is the big question moving forward. And that is what we're going to explore next, because we got to take a break here. But what a fantastic Bulldogs football game. We'll analyze what worked. We'll analyze what we thought. We'll analyze what we saw and where we move forward with this football team into the bye week. So, get your opinions in. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430 is the way to reach our show. We'll take a break. We'll be right back on Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Continuing to react to the weekend here. It's a weekend reaction show, Monday show, like I said here. And as we sit here halfway through this first hour, got to continue to dissect what happened on the islands, Fresno State. What does it mean? What are we thinking about? What are we feeling good about? What are we concerned about? Some of the stats that point out to it. Well, the turnover department, if you're continuing to be one of those crazy people that likes to just microscopically look at the turnovers in every bit of the word, it's going to be interesting to look at. Obviously, one play being one that may have been caused by a broken block, but the other one being one that could be caused by really just an ill-advised decision by the referees, in the sense. But regardless, I think there is a lot to take away in terms of the way the defense played, which was my key to the game. And yes, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. And Jorge, you're going to get so annoyed because you're waiting on this kind of moment on the show. But because not only did I once again get as close to this final score as 4 points, again, for the second week in a row, may I remind you, 52-7 was my score prediction for Southern. It was a 56-7 Bulldog win. My score prediction was 27-21 Bulldogs over the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. It was 23-21, so once again, 4 points off. My player of the game this past week was Azilian Hamilton, and Azilian's interception was very key into setting up what would be a situation the Bulldogs would need to score some points in a response down the stretch. So turnovers needed for sure. The Bulldogs, I think, got four of them over the weekend, three picks and a fumble recovery. Keep generating turnovers. By the way, I've been waiting for a forced fumble from the Bulldog defense. We finally got one. Forced fumble and recovery is what I've been looking for in terms of that. So it's going to be interesting to see if that can continue for the Bulldogs defense, because they feel like they're getting stronger. I'll get to a unit that I feel like I have some concerns about. But Jorge, in terms of the defensive side of the football and the way they performed, I know they gave up the touchdown at the end. I'll tell you what, that's a gas defense. It's just trying any which way to avoid disaster. And they made a play when they needed to in the two-point conversion play. But how impressed are you with the defense over the weekend? Impressed, meh, or where were you at in terms of the defense for the Fresno State Bulldogs?
I was definitely impressed, but I knew what we had, and I knew what the offense for Hawaii was. So I think it was a good – they had a great game. The defense had a great game, and it's pretty much what kept Fresno State in the game, especially early in the game. After those, you know, the safety and those mishaps, the defense came back up and, you know, forced punts, was all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, those interceptions were beautiful. I think they did what they had to do and more.
It's the reaction to certain situations that allow them to show that they can be elite in that sense. Because let's be honest, 9 of those points were not on the defense. So what's the exact points that the defense gave up? It was 12. 12 points in that game were on the defense last night or Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, that'll win you football games. You know, like if you look at collectively, and now we're going to play the comparison game, right, Jorge? If you want to look at the Mountain West scoreboard from this past weekend, who is a team that had a better defensive performance than the Bulldogs? There is one team that I would say, yes, they had a better defensive performance than the Bulldogs did, and that was San Diego State beating Cal 34-0. Crazy stuff there. But other than that, to me, the Bulldogs have gotten stronger on the defensive side. I feel like they're pretty healthy on the defensive side as well. It feels like we got a lot of key cogs to turn into and to get this defense going. And so it is certainly my favorite aspect of this football team. My second favorite is our run game. Jorge, if I told you 2.2 yards per carry on the islands, we winning or we losing? 2.2 yards rushing per carry on the islands. We winning or losing?
Oh, we winning. We're winning.
be serious. Be serious, Jorge.
I would like to think we're winning, but
if we're rushing 2.2 yards per carry,
I mean, What do you want me to say? Like, no, they were not. How could you win like that?
You can't win. You can't win usually with that kind of outlook. You know what that tells me? It tells me EJ played his best game of his Fresno State career on the islands. I would say that. Was that fair to say as well? Because I thought some throws, there were some elite throws from EJ in that football game. One particular one. We weren't ever converting third and 12s 3 weeks ago. And we had numerous situations where on third and long, there was a third and 12 specific throw where he threw it to Jordan Brown. And it was just past the linebacker, just in front of a safety. And there was another corner that was kind of shading around a little bit as well. It was between three defenders, got the first down, made it happen.
That was the one on triple coverage, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, because I think the confidence is there, and now I think his vision has changed a little bit, and I think he's growing more into being with the team and knowing where those guys are going to be.
Yeah.
The confidence and with more – with having played more with the team, knowing more his teammates and who's going to be doing what and where, I think he feels comfortable throwing those types of balls and not second-guessing himself whether they're going to, you know, intercept him or not. I think that's the difference that is between week one and now.
My concern was, can you get out of situations that when you get one-dimensional, can Fresno State find its way to get out of those situations?
He kind of used his legs, too.
He did.
You saw it.
He was the leading rusher.
So you saw that.
Where were the stats?
You know, when things weren't looking anywhere, he saw openings and took them. And that's what you want from a quarterback that, you know, didn't come here to run, but is here to do good things.
Jorge, he rushed 45 yards. He was the leading rusher in that game on Saturday. Five rushes, 45 yards. His longest was a 28-yard rush. Outside of that, Rayshon Luke, 9 carries for 34 yards. Bryson Donaldson, 15 for 29. Bryson Donaldson, by the way, jeez. Average 0.1 yards per carry. He had a 28-yard of loss. I don't know what that means in terms of it. I think he must have just got crushed that much behind the line. Regardless, about 22 for 29 for E.J. Warner, 230, a touchdown. Just one sack, too, and that was the sack fumble on that situation. Once again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys getting involved in catching footballs. That's depth, receiver depth in terms of it. I think Zeke Avite has been phenomenal in terms of early repetition and early results in terms of getting your guy in a rhythm. He's been great in the first quarter. Want to see a little bit more healthy side of thing of Josiah Freeman. I thought he had a little bit of a shaky game. He didn't look totally 100% still quite yet in terms of it. Cam Beechin, obviously, with the big play of the game, the 72-yard reception and run. I mean, 72 yards of yak from Cam Beechin in that one on the tight end. I had to explain to my friends that Cam Beechin is a tight end. They were like, why is he so slow? And I'm like, he's a tight end, dude.
I know my friend commented, like, you know, the Thunderbolt interception took off running like crazy. But Beechin was like, bro, you got to be faster than that.
Yeah.
Like they were, he was comparing them. Like, one's a linebacker and the other one's a tight end. Like, they should be faster, but no. It is what it is. But you know, he caught that ball and it was a great, great play.
Yeah, Dylan Lynch field goals. Add 9 points to the final score. There, it's 32-21. That's the Bulldogs.
I think win. The one that I'm more angry about is the second one, because that one.
Well, that was the one he slipped. Was the second
he
one?
Slipped?
He slipped and fell. I saw it.
Okay.
On the 26-yarder, the one that was just totally—that's a slip. That was that he looked one, like he was on the ground.
Yeah, that one totally the wrong way.
To me, I saw a slip.
Okay, because I was gonna bash him, but if it slipped, I'll take a look at it and see.
Yeah, first one, not an excuse. The first one he needed to hit, and then the 54-yard miss is that was a. That was a, you know.
54 yards, that's tough.
Yeah. He got it done, though. He got it done when he needed that field goal to take the lead. He got it done in terms of that. I will say, how about some 4D chess from Hawaii in terms of calling that timeout before the 54-yarder to review something and just wasting all of that time to let Dylan Lynch sit there? And by the way, kick that field goal, make him feel like he made it.
He made the first one, right?
He did. I thought that was great gamesmanship from Timmy Chang. From the Hawaii side, I couldn't be mad about it. I could not be mad about it. With 12:46 to go in that fourth quarter and Dylan Lynch hitting that just because Bryson Donaldson barely had his foot in bounds, but just enough to waste enough time.
Yeah,
I never seen somebody ice a kicker with 12:54 to go or 12:46 to go in a football game before, Jorge. I don't know if I ever saw that. So that was interesting in terms of the game as well.
I feel like I've seen it in the NFL, but not in college.
Here's my big worry for the Bulldogs moving forward. Because I don't know the status of Braden Walton on the offensive line. He went down with an injury. Didn't look great. You remember that lineman?
I think that prevented the running game from taking off.
Certainly felt like it. And I know Coach Entz won't make excuses for it. But now we've lost a starter in Campbell McCarg to an injury. I don't know what the status of Braden Walton is. And we would have got an update today, but it's bye week, so no presser today. We get a press conference next week, so we will know better answers next Monday in terms of it. But that is the key cog in question for the Bulldogs here moving forward is the offensive line. I think that is the area of concern moving forward because it's just depth that is needed now to be able to patchwork what is our greatest asset, which is the run game. We got all these Lamborghinis. We just need roads to drive on. You know what I mean? And I'm getting a little worried. I'm getting a little worried because we've lost a couple guys, and it's only five games in to the season. So is that an area of concern for you, Jorge? Because I feel like that's my biggest worry moving forward. I think we figured out the passing game in some sense. We have figured out, obviously, our run game. I think we figured out the short game passing defense in terms of tackling. I feel like we've handled the run game for the most part from some teams as well. The quarterback scramble situation still infuriates me just a little bit, but that's just kind of things that happen in football games where a guy can leak out. But outside of that, I think my biggest worry is the offensive line moving forward for this Bulldog football team.
Yeah. One other thing that I saw.
Yeah.
You know, because I was watching the game with the on the Mountain West Network, and they had the Hawaii commercials.
Yes.
And now I saw a commercial for Kava.
Okay. And wonder now, where you're going with this.
And now I want to try this. It's supposed to be a drink.
Yes.
It's supposed to be good for you.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's legal here in the States, but it's legal in Hawaii.
Yes.
And now I kind of want to try it. It looked like friends hanging around a bowl.
Uh-huh.
And they throw this like powder in the bowl, and then they all drink from it.
Okay, I'm just waiting for your turn here.
And no, I really want to try it. I'm looking at sites to see if I could.
Is that all you're ready? I thought you were going to make a connection here. I thought you were.
Well, if they drink this in Hawaii, then
you're saying our linemen need kava.
Sure.
Our offensive line, is that what you're suggesting? Is it?
Yeah, they need something.
Need something to take the edge off? Jeez. Oh,
I honestly didn't have anything about the lineman.
Oh, my gosh.
I just wanted
to bring up the kava. I had coaches in my high school days in high school, and they were Samoan, and kava was certainly a conversation I heard about. Never had anything, obviously, when I was in a...
Oh, man.
I've had some friends who are Samoan as well, and they talk about kava all the time.
I didn't know this was a thing.
Kava, man. Kava root.
Huh.
Gonna make your face numb.
Okay.
It's interesting. Right. Interesting stuff.
All right.
We're gonna feel numb for about a week or two because obviously the Bulldogs are on the bye. Gotta get healthier. I need to know what Braden Walton's status is. I don't know if anybody knows. I don't know if we'll ever know until next Monday. I hope it's not a season ender. I don't know what the status is on that, but that is going to be the key cog and key question for the Bulldogs.
If it was a season ender, we would have known today. I think is more of a smaller, you know, time frame.
Does this put Fresno State in a better position moving forward to the Mountain West? Do you feel like this win is our biggest hurdle to overcome, other than obviously the Boise road game. I think the Colorado State game feels a little less juicy. They just lost to UTSA at Colorado State. I'm just kind of looking through. San Diego State beating Cal is kind of my big eye-opener of the day from this week. I mean, I know Boise put on an offensive performance, but, man, Air Force putting 37 on that Boise defense does not make me feel scared about Boise's defense.
Right.
In any capacity. Nevada getting beat by Western Kentucky, you know. UNLV is the weakest 4-0 I've ever seen in my life in terms of that. They beat Miami in a crazy comeback. So San Jose State, by the way, barely beating Josh Wood over the weekend.
Wait, who did UNLV beat?
Josh Wood and U Idaho. Remember the Vandals? Josh Wood came into town and almost beat San Jose State at San Jose State. So
no, but I thought you said UNLV beat
Miami of Ohio.
Oh, okay, Ohio.
Yeah.
I was extremely confused there for a second.
No. All right, let's take a break. That's a little bit it for now on the Fresno State Bulldogs. We'll talk more in the week to come, a little more reaction, a little more in-depth stuff as we get further from the game. And now look forward to this next bit of the season. We're going to have some guests coming on, I think, throughout the stretch as well. So let's take a break, Jorge. Let's chat a little bit more about some stuff from the weekend. And keep people going. We got 1 hour almost done here, going up to 5 o'clock today. Stay with us. More Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Live here for till 5 o'clock between the Lions and the Ravens. I just wanted to touch real quick on some baseball because baseball got a little weird this weekend in terms of it. One of those, if you're a Giants fan, certainly did not go the way you wanted to. The Giants currently 3 games out now behind the Reds. Of all teams, the Cincinnati Reds, and they got to have a lot to happen for them to make the playoffs. I don't even know if I should go through all the permutations. First of all, 6-0 has to be on the table for the Giants. And then you would need, I would say, sweeps across the board or some form of 2-4, 1-5 from the following teams, which is the Mets, the Diamondbacks, and the Reds. Real quick rundown of those teams that still have their schedule here. Reds have Pittsburgh, Milwaukee. The Mets have Chicago and Florida. Both on the road, by the way. And the Diamondbacks have the Dodgers and the Padres. So am I saying there's a chance? I don't know if I'm saying there's a chance, but it is mathematically not impossible for the Giants to make the postseason. But it is certainly dire tonight. Excuse me. So the more fun scenario right now, Brewers sitting in the top spot in the NL. They just need to win a few more, and they'll probably be the top team in the National League. Phillies will probably be locked in the 2 spot. Dodgers are in that 3 spot, which they'll play the last wild card team. Seems surely locked in that the Cubs and the Padres will be that wild card series opening there in Chicago. Here's where it gets fun, Jorge. The American League. Have you seen the American League standings?
Yes, I have.
We are 1 week away from the MLB season being over, and one American League team has clinched. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
What they call a tight race.
A tight race. By the way, we have distractions behind us. I just saw a cop car pull up. That's the person who has their car broken down right behind us here on YouTube and wherever. Is it clear right in the camera?
Yeah, you can see it. I mean, the screen is kind of like, you know, because you have the screen down, but you could definitely tell that there's a car stuck there.
Can people see it? Am I, or do I have enough?
No, you don't have enough.
Oh, man. Well, Fresno PD trying to help them. There I go. All right. hopefully they get that figured out. We'll be monitoring the situation. The American League has the Mariners in first place, three games up on the Astros. Here's the wild card situation right now. The Tigers are in the third central spot. They're only a game ahead of the Guardians. The Guardians are playing the Tigers starting tomorrow in a three-game set. The Tigers might blow one of the biggest division leads I've ever seen, potentially, with six games to go. Yankees currently in the two spot. They're only two back of the Blue Jays, but they're in that one spot in the wild card. The Red Sox are sitting there in that nice little sandwich. They're probably three games back of the Yankees and probably won't catch them. And the Astros suddenly become the team on the odd man out because the Astros got absolutely destroyed by the Mariners over the weekend. And so currently your playoff picture in the American League is Blue Jays, Mariners, Tigers, and then the wild card Yankees, Red Sox, Guardians, who are back from the dead. It's insane stuff. Baseball is going to be phenomenal this week. Phenomenal. And I'm going to keep it up on the daily here because I think the playoffs are going to be exciting, and I can't wait for it. And Jorge, a reminder to the folks at home, we carry the playoffs, right?
Yes, all the way to the World Series.
All the way to the World Series. So we'll be monitoring it closely all the way to whoever is lifting a trophy, and I can't wait. All right, coming up next, we got a Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice. We talk about Raiders, Rams, and Niners next as well. Get you set for tonight's game. Stay with us. Hour number two coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Monday, hour number two of our show before we head over to Major Wager. Hope you're doing that soon tonight. An hour from now, we'll have Monday Night Football, Lions and Ravens. Come over, hang out with me, Carter, Joe, all the great people over at Major Wager, me and Ed's Victory Grill. You can win a Traeger. You increase your odds each week you go when winning a Traeger grill, courtesy of Fresno Ag. Jorge, what would you do if you had a Traeger grill? Just a free Traeger grill. If you could win a free Traeger grill, that would be like your favorite thing you've ever won, I bet.
Yeah, because it's not just a grill. It's also a smoker. Like, if you think about it, like it's like it's got like eight different functions in it, that I think. But, man, it's a beautiful grill. I was part of the other guy that we brought it from, or Joe brought it from the, Fresno Ag.
Yeah.
And, the last winter came and picked it up here, and I'm telling you, I spent like 10 minutes just looking at it. It was so good. It was so beautiful.
I can only imagine the amazing things you could do with a trailer.
And then it also has like the smoking pellets. Like, you use smoking pellets.
Yeah.
And, man, I was like, It came with some because courtesy of Fresno Ag, and I was like, oh man, I was excited for the guy.
Can you imagine just winning something just because you showed up every week to something? Like, and that's what people do, man. The winners show up.
Yeah, all you had to do was put his name down and put it in there.
Me and Ed's Victory Grill. That's what you got to do. You just got to be at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, and you have a chance to win a Traeger grill. That's
the more you go, the more chances you get.
More you go, the more chances you get. It's only week three, folks. Week three, Lions and Ravens. All right, let's talk NFL weekend. I wanted to clear this hour out for the NFL and just really deep diving into it in terms of it. Who's been naughty? Who's been nice? I do this every week of the NFL season and the high school and college and all that great stuff on the football season. So it's another edition of that. Jorge, where are we feeling? Are we feeling a who's been naughty or who's been nice? Where do we want to start on my three Benatti's been nice?
Let's go with Benatti.
Who's been naughty? Well, I want to say the Green Bay Packers, and specifically in the Jordan Love department in terms of that. Man, what a horrible way to end that football game for the Green Bay Packers, and where everybody was saying, That was their Super Bowl pick, I got to imagine. Everybody was on the Green Bay Packers. It was 10-0 with about halfway through that fourth quarter, Jorge, and you were just sitting there like, wow, Green Bay's going to win this game, but, man, it is boring as it can all be in terms of it. But then Cleveland kicks a field goal and makes it close. 10-3, but you're like, ah, okay, it's just teams getting tired. Then on a slant pattern, Jordan Love throws one of the most inexplicable interceptions I had ever seen. Up 7 points with 3 minutes to go. Cleveland Browns immediately get his touchdown on that play after he returns it to the two. Quishon Judkins in, and it's 10-10, Jorge. And I don't know where you were at in consuming this football game, but when you saw 10-10, I got to imagine it was like, what is happening? What is happening with Green Bay, and what is happening here in the Cleveland Browns stadium? Is Joe Flacco really going to go beat the all-world beater Green Bay Packers after losing to Lamar, after losing to Joe Burrow when he was healthy? Are the Browns really going to do this here? And sure enough, after a missed field goal, a blocked field goal with 20-something seconds left, Green Bay allows Cleveland to get into a position to kick a game-winning field goal. People are mad because they didn't set the football and the ump didn't touch it, or he did touch it or didn't set it. Regardless, the ump did touch the football. The thing is valid. And they spiked the ball, and Cleveland wins the football game 13-10. And one of the most blown games I had ever seen. And almost, by the way, two of those are the same game, by the way. Tampa almost was the same fate with that, with New York. But one of the biggest blown games I've ever seen in terms of caliber of team to the lack of caliber of team. Cleveland with a miraculous win over some Packer team that I just really thought they played with their food all day. Brutal.
Yeah, I didn't see the game, but I saw the highlights at the after the Sunday Night Football game, and I was intrigued because this is one of those games where either you come back and realize what you did wrong, or your team breaks down and that's the season. It could be one of those games. And just because everything was going your way, and all of a sudden in one quarter, or less than one quarter, you gave it all up. And that's not easy to do.
You want to know something? This is the Packers' first loss. This is their Packers' second loss since 1970, in which they were leading by 10-plus points in the final 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, Jorge. You want to know the other time? That infamous 2014 NFC Championship when the Seahawks had that miracle comeback and won and went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, the pay me my money?
No, when Bostic was on the onside kick and Seattle recovered, and then it went to overtime. And Seattle threw the touchdown, Russell Wilson to Jermaine Kearse, sent him to the Super Bowl to then go lose to the Patriots in 2014. Russell Wilson had four interceptions in that game. It was horrific, horrific, horrific game for Russell Wilson until the final 4 minutes. This is Packers had 14 penalties, by the way. That's the most they had in a game since week 3 of 2010 against the Bears when they had 18 in a loss. Man, some crazy stuff there. Jordan Love, 18 for 25, 183, and a passing touchdown, an INT. Snaps his streak of 9 consecutive games without an INT. And if he played just a degree better, I think he would be still in the MVP conversation if the Packers were 3-0. But no. Jordan Love could not get it done. Sorry to hit it on this Central Valley guy, but that was as brutal of a loss for some people. Thankfully, I didn't pick him in a survivor pool, and I'm happy about it. A lot of people dead on that. All right, we're going to who's been nice. You want to who's been nice here next, Jorge?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do Upton Stout. I want to give Upton Stout a shout from the 49ers because I just want to give a specific kudos to the play that he made against Arizona. If you do recall, Jorge, it was third and I believe 5 for the Arizona Cardinals, and they needed a first down to end the football game up 2. And a throw by Kyler Murray reaches his receiver Don't recall the name of the receiver at the moment right there. Looks like he gathers the catch, and Upton Stout keeps his arm in the play, keeps his arm in the receiver's arm, and strips the ball away, leaving it incomplete, stopping the clock. Niners get a chance to get the football back after a punt. That was the play of the game for me for the 49ers last night in late afternoon. And I want to give a special shout to Upton Stout, the rookie, showing up and making a massive play. Niners have needed somebody to make plays like that, and that is elite cornerback play. And I want to make him my first Ben Ice of the weekend.
That was definitely a game changer. At the end of the almost at the end of the game, it seemed like the wide receiver had it, but at the same time, Upton Stout was all over it and just punched it out, went in there and grabbed it out.
Just totally stripped it, but it was absolutely like the play the Niners needed. It was dead. They were dead for about half a second there. It was like so long in the hand of that receiver that it almost looked like it was a completion and a fumble.
No, on TV, you saw it come down, and I was like, oh, man, he caught it. And then you see the ball roll out, and yeah. I'm like, whoa, he didn't catch it.
Yep. Crazy, man. Crazy stuff. Niners, man, that was a crazy win. I'll dive into the numbers later in the show. We need another who's been Adi. My no show team of the week is the Atlanta Falcons, with their 30-0 loss. How about them being just absolutely horrendous in this football game against Carolina? Some statistics, potentially to throw at you as far as this game is concerned. Panthers first shutout win since 2020, their largest win in any game since 2015. By the way, they beat the Falcons 38-0 that year. Couple of defensive stops for sure for the Panthers as well. Bryce Young, how do you win a game 30-0 when your quarterback throws 121 yards and just one rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown as well? So Michael Penix, not great. The Falcons certainly lose stock here. And just overall kind of a gutless effort from the Atlanta Falcons this week. And I'm certainly thankful I didn't have anybody in fantasy football on the Atlanta Falcons. So they go a Benatti for me.
Yeah, the Falcons just seem to can't get out of this, like, just a four-year slump. It looks like they went to the Super Bowl and all of a sudden they rebuilt, but then rebuilding just got stuck and they haven't got out of it. They tried different quarterbacks. They tried, you know, just a bunch of other things, but they just can't seem to get anything going.
Crazy. My next been ice, I'm giving it to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and I'm giving it to Baker Mayfield doing it again. Bucks 3-0, and they score go-ahead points in the final minutes of regulation for three straight games. That's time for the longest streak by any team at any point of a season since 1970. They're the first to do so in first three games of a season. The Buccaneers, the cardiac Bucks, making it happen. It shouldn't have been that way. They were about to go up, what, 9, Jorge? If you recall, I don't know if you saw the highlights of this one. They were about to go up 9, Chase McLaughlin about to kick a field goal, and the Jets have a guy who jumps over the center and blocks a field goal, returns it for a touchdown. Jets take a 27-26 lead. Aaron Glenn is high-stepping and dancing down the sideline, their head coach. I don't know if you saw that video, Jorge. And quoted after the game was Todd Bowles saying, "You got to effing beat S'ing me," when he was asked what he was thinking on that blocked field goal. But sure enough, one play in their game-winning drive, Baker finds Emeka Ogbuka like 30 yards down the line in what was a really nice darted throw, and right back into field goal range. The Bucks, no nonsense, making it happen and winning on a game-winning 36-yard field goal as time expired. And the Bucks are fun, man. It's not pretty, and they were in the creamsicles, and I felt like that was a classic swag move by the Bucks. First team to win being down late in a football game, three straight games.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm waiting for Baker Mayfield to make a mistake, and he hasn't yet.
Like, when is the clock strike at midnight for Baker Mayfield? Is it ever going to?
I think I'm going to have to wait a little bit longer.
I don't think it will. I think he's him. This is him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think I'm going to have to wait a lot longer for this to be over. He seems comfortable. he seems like everything is going his way, and the Buccaneers are look like a team that's going to make the playoffs and is going to have a hard time to give to anyone that goes against them.
Going to have a hard time for sure, man. Going to have a hard time. Let's go to my next Benice. Benatti. We're on a Benatti, right? And my third Benatti is going to go to the San Jose Sharks. And I know we're going to have Dan, and I'm just I'm playfully poking at this. And you're saying, hey, why? Wait, the Sharks won their preseason hockey game. Went viral on Twitter this weekend. They had a banner up in their arena, Jorge, that said President's Cup Trophy Winners 2015-2016. When you win the President's Cup, you have the most points won by any team in the standings. Just one problem there, Jorge. The Rangers won the President's Cup in 2015-2016, or the Capitals won the President's Cup in that time span as well. The Sharks did not. And yes, somehow there is a banner hung in their rafters currently at their arena that claims they won a President's Cup when they did not. They did win a President's Cup back in 2009-2008, but the Sharks have some splaining to do in terms of that banner, because people have been fact-checking them, and it certainly was incorrect. So I don't know who vetted that. I don't know if somebody got confused. That was the year they went to the Stanley Cup final, but that is not what you earn when you get the President's Cup. President's Cup is the best team in hockey, and they were not at that moment after the regular season. So my Benatti goes to the Sharks for hanging what will be a slanderous banner. No, I wouldn't say slanderous, but incorrect, certainly, in the realms of sports history. I'm under the impression it sounds like they're going to fix it and remedy it very soon.
When did they hang it? Did they hang it this offseason?
Must have been. I would have noticed because I went to a game or two.
Yeah, I went to a game last year, but I don't think I seen it.
Must have been hung in the offseason.
That's so weird.
I've never seen a team screwed up like that.
Also, wouldn't you put it after the season that you won it?
Right.
Unless there was like a technicality.
Unless they were just like rearranging the banners in the arena.
And then that one showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah, maybe they were like, this is it, and this is something for us. And I don't know. It was as strange of a situation as
it. Could it be that there was a rule that they won it that year because they were, you know, runner-ups?
No, but you would win that. You were a Western Conference champion. You could say that. You're Western Conference champion in 15 and 16, but you're not a President's Cup champion. Maybe somebody got confused at the banner printing department. Maybe that's what it is. So it's an easy solution. You just print another one that says Western Conference champs, and you're good. Regardless, Sharks make my Benatti list on that. All right, my last Benice. I got to give it to a man. The San Diego Chargers. Not the San Diego Chargers. The LA Chargers. But they're playing like the San Diego Chargers, like the good San Diego Chargers of old. The LA Chargers are 3-0. Jorge, you want to guess the last time the Chargers were 3-0 to start a season?
I want to say 2008.
2002.
Jesus.
2002, the first time the Chargers have been 3-0 to start a game. And by the way, third team since division realignment in 2002 to start a season 3-0 with wins against their division. The 06 Bears made the Super Bowl and did that. The 2003 Vikings missed the playoffs.
The quarterback for that 2002 game to
the 2002 Chargers was that Drew Brees?
Drew Brees.
That was Drew Brees back in the day, or was that Doug Flutie?
No, it was still Drew Brees.
I think it was Drew
Brees. Came out of 2001, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. So, how about the throw from Justin Herbert to Keenan Allen to tie the game? And then to get into field goal range and win the game. Boy, the Bronco fans have to feel sick about themselves the way their season has started. Two victories snatched, or two defeats snatched out of the jaws of victory in terms of it. Tough. Chargers are going to keep getting it done. They just lost Najee Harris, but I don't think that's going to stop them in anything. And I think they're everybody's darling picks for Super Bowls, which is suddenly starting to become a wary position for a Charger fan. So the LA Chargers sit there now as my Benice, my final Benice, But Charger fans, be warned. Things could get different moving along. So, and there's my Benatti, and who's my Benice? Any complaints there, Jorge, or we're good there?
No. Complaints about the Sharks that have a banner that's not supposed to be there.
We may have to do a little more research on it, but I
maybe Dan could tell us why that's there.
I don't know if I should bring it up to him. Maybe I can bring it up playfully.
Ask him before, see if he's willing to.
Hey, Dan, what's up with the banner? All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive deep into the Niners, Raiders, Rams, all that performance. Who had the best weekend? Surely it was the Niners. Other two teams licking their wounds. Stay with us. Spot on the Bench rolls along on 1430. Right, we're back. Did we play this song already? We played this song already. Are you playing these songs again? Are you trying to get me to notice?
It's the 21st. Well, yesterday was the 21st day of September. God,
that's what's going on. I'm like, I heard this one already. You're trying to get. Have you played this two times in a row now? Is this the third time?
This is the third time I've played.
Oh my goodness, I've been locked in. Wow. You got me, Jorge. You got me. Are you gonna play it again one more time?
There's a fourth edition. There's a fourth break. Yes.
I'm telling you right now, I was listening, I'm like, I've heard, what is happening? What is happening? You got me. You got me, Jorge. Jorge got me.
It's first day of fall, last day of September, or, you know, last week of September, so can't really play this song after this, you know?
Of course not. God. Now I'm getting texts. This is fantastic.
I can't believe it took you this long. I thought you were gonna get it last time,
dude. Like, I was locked in. I was so you've only played music two times in the show before. We had two rejoiners to it,
and they're both the same.
And let's be fair, I was trying to read something else in terms of the other rejoins, and this is the second time I've really paid attention to the music that was on there.
I was hoping you were gonna get it at the very end.
Yeah, no,
that would have been beautiful.
Oh, folks, we have fun here.
Carter told me like. I mentioned it to Carter, and she was like, do it. And I was like,
right. You're going to get him? Did she guess? Like, was it, if I never noticed, was she? What was the bets? What were the bets? Like, what segment
was it? It wasn't really a bet. She was just like, because I mentioned this to you in the morning.
Did you?
I don't know if you remembered. I mentioned it to you. What if I do it? And I was just like, what if? And then I what if did Carter? And Carter was like, well, it's the best time to do it. If you're going to do it, it's today.
You know? I'm apologizing. I was eavesdropping on something else in this morning, Jorge. So
no, I get you.
Yeah,
I get
you. As you know. All right. Where am I at now? Let's talk about the games yesterday, specifically more into it. Where do we want to start? The Niners? We want to start with the Rams? I don't have much on the Raiders. The Raiders kind of did what they didn't want to do.
It was a weird game because I feel like at the beginning they started pretty strong.
Yeah,
and they just. Fell off.
Yeah, no, it was not what you wanted to be in terms of that. Ashton Jeanty, man, I don't know if I'm not there to panic just yet. It's a rookie running back. I didn't think he was like worth where he was taken in fantasy wise or anything like that. The kid was going to struggle. It's a welcome to the NFL situation. Guys don't right away just go burst on the scene. You're not going to get Adrian Peterson every time in terms of running back productivity. But it's starting to get a little alarming that the Raiders' offensive line can't give him what he wants in terms of the run struggles. He did have one really nice run where he kind of bowled over a guy or two, and I was like, okay, that's Jeanty-ish. But outside of that, Raiders, man. And they scored certainly when it wasn't. By the way, ironically, that's the same score as the Buccaneers' Super Bowl loss for the Raiders, 41-24. I only know this because I was watching a video about that Super Bowl that year. Last night, so
I feel like they started Ashton Jeanty too quickly.
Yeah,
they should have slowed him out, put him out there slowly more. But I mean, I know they had needs there.
Well, it hurts when you don't have Mostert was supposed to be kind of the stopgap guy, and seems like he's still not healthy. I feel like Raheem Mostert's kind of like a guy you need for the Raiders to really see the full picture of what's going on. But let's be fair. The Raiders' run defense just could not get out of its own way in terms of it yesterday. Marcus Mariota rushing for a touchdown, which, by the way, I found out I'm older than Marcus Mariota, and that just destroyed me just a little bit because Marcus Mariota looks like he's 47 years old.
Well,
feels like he should be.
I don't know, 47, but he does look older than what
he is. Feels like he should be 38.
You think about it, when he came into the league, he was really young.
Yeah.
And I think that played into his, you know, not being ready to be in Tennessee and, you know, maturity-wise.
Yeah. One bright spot, Trey Tucker, 145 yards. I think he had a couple touchdowns in this football game. That's a career high. He's kind of a guy that nobody really knows about. I think people really don't know about Trey Tucker, and he's been kind of a secret little weapon for the Raiders in the past game. It simply enough, though, you just can't fall behind in a game like this, especially when Commanders can run a football like they do. So Raiders are going to have to bounce back. They're going to have to figure it out. They play the Bears next week. No better team to at least theoretically get good on offense than facing that Bears team. Who, I mean, they got right against the Dallas Cowboys, but it is the Dallas Cowboys. So, Raiders, Bears next week. So, 1-2. I mean, Chargers are running it with a little bit in the division, but you could get a couple wins in the docket here and get back into the conversation. I think the back end of the AFC is still so wide open right now.
I feel like they got to play better because the way they play, the Bears played against the Cowboys this weekend.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. All right. Rams or Niners? I love how we started with the Raiders there.
Go Rams?
Rams. That one hurt, I would say, for the Rams, but I think they showed a lot. They controlled this game for a while, and then suddenly it just kind of – Jalen Hurts got a little hot down the stretch in terms of it. Eagles are down 26-7. Second largest home comeback in franchise history for the Eagles. They were behind a 20-point comeback win at home against the Cowboys in 88. So big-time comeback there. Just when we thought the Eagles didn't have firepower to do so, right? We were sitting there like, where's this offense been? Where is it going? It hasn't done much in terms of their productivity, and yet they can throw down the field and Jalen Hurts can be the guy. The Rams are going to kick themselves, certainly, for a while in giving this one up. They had a game-winning field goal, obviously lined up. Did you see the betting implications on this game, Jorge,
in terms of it?
Mm-hmm. So the Eagles were minus 3.5 at the close of the game. Minus 3.5. They were winning by one. Certainly, no logical play could allow the Eagles to cover in any sense of the word in that football game yesterday. Rams field goal make or miss? That's what's in your mind, right? So no chance your bet's hitting with the Eagles minus 3.5. If you had the Rams and the points there, that is what SVP would call a bad beat because the field goal was blocked, obviously returned for a touchdown. Ram fans don't want me to hash that back out. Eagles win by 7, and they cover. And you lose your bet if you bet on the Rams. Like that one is as bad of a beat as I've ever seen. I don't know if there's a game that ever ended like that before on a cover, on a meaningless block kick touchdown return. That was the one the Rams really wanted to have. I think they really wanted to have that one. And unfortunately, that one's going to sting for a little bit. The Rams will have to bounce back over against the undefeated Colts moving forward. But are you concerned about the Rams after that performance? Or do you feel like, okay, they hung with the Eagles. They can bounce back and do it again in the playoffs if they need to do that again?
I think it was just, you know, I don't necessarily think they played bad at all. I think it was a fourth quarter. I felt like they thought it was over.
Yeah.
But they were still a fourth quarter to play.
Certainly was. Yeah. I do want to say, man, and J.B. Long said it in our interview this week, Devontae Adams has made such a difference in the way that offense looks. I mean, Puka Nacua, man. Are we on the level of saying Puka Nacua is like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson level of elite wide receiver talent in the National Football League? I'm ready to get there. I'm ready to get there with Puka Nacua.
I think this is definitely going to be his. This is fourth year, right? All right.
Third year.
Yeah, definitely his third year is going to be the year where he explodes and becomes a regular. You know, this guy is the man to, you know, take the lead as a wide receiver.
Yeah. Would you rank him above Ja'Marr Chase? Is Puka the number one wide receiver?
Right now? Not yet. Maybe after the season we'll see his stats and see where he stands, and then we'll probably be above them. But I'm not ready to put him up there yet.
Ironically,
he hasn't done enough yet.
He hasn't done. What does he
but
need?
But that's because he hasn't been in the league for so long.
If he leads the league in receptions, yards, touchdowns, if he gets like the triple crown in that this year, is he the number one receiver after this?
I want to see him in the playoffs do something, you know.
He's been incredible in the playoffs. Like, let me see if I can go to Puka numbers.
Game winning catches.
Why does he need the arbitrary moment?
That's what makes a player.
When has Ja'Marr Chase had a game winning?
Exactly. I'm not saying Ja'Marr Chase is up there.
Yeah, but like who's – why is that
– Are we comparing him to Ja'Marr Chase?
I am.
I mean, what are we talking about with Ja'Marr Chase here? Like what?
People consensus believe that Ja'Marr Chase is the best wide receiver in the league or Justin Jefferson.
Right now? I feel like Justin Jefferson could be.
Yeah.
I don't know that Ja'Marr Chase is. I mean – I think we're going off the rails here to a different.
I want to have this conversation about Puka. I do because I think it's a legit conversation.
I honestly don't think Puka has done enough yet.
Okay.
Maybe he hasn't won enough either. Cause
are we putting? Okay, so he actually destroyed Detroit in the playoffs 2 years ago. 9 catches, 181 yards, and a touchdown in that 1-point loss to Detroit.
Right.
5 catches, 44 yards against Minnesota. He didn't really need it. He wasn't really needed in that Minnesota game. Let's be honest. It was all about the defense for the Rams. 6 catches, 97 yards in the snowstorm against Philly. I think that's as serviceable as you can get in terms of that performance. And that's his playoff sample size. So averaging, you know, a necessary amount in terms of being productive on the offensive side. I'm just trying to point out that I think there's a legit conversation to have. And I don't even think Cooper Kupp allowed him to really, I mean, shine as much as he did. In 11 games, he almost was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. In 11 games. Like, guys have to work hard to get to 17 games to get 1,000 yards. And he almost did in 11. In his rookie year, he was 1,400 yards, almost 1,500 yards. Jorge, he has already reached a third of his yardage from last year. He's in through 3 games. Still needs a touchdown, by the way. He does still need a touchdown, but
I'm just saying, like, he's got the stats.
Yeah. Is that not what everybody's arbitrary ranking is about the stats? Isn't that not what it is? Or are we just going physical specimen?
Like, no, I feel like he's up there. I feel like I don't know that he's like right now the best wide receiver that there is.
Is it Mike Evans? Is Mike Evans the number one?
I don't feel like he. I feel like he's too past his prime.
Okay,
Mike Evans.
Who's the number one?
I feel like Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's number one.
Okay. If I had my druthers, Puka Nacua, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Mike Evans.
Do you feel like Puka Nacua is above? You know,
this season, the way they've played. That's my top
after
4.
After three games,
the three best, and then. By some miracle, Keenan Allen's sitting up there right now with the way the Chargers have been playing. And then I put Ricky Pearsall.
Okay.
And then I put Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
That sounds about right. Okay.
Am I missing anybody? Try to think if I'm missing anybody. I don't want to like totally slander anything in terms of it. But I feel like those are like the big 6 or 7 right now. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb went down with the injury. A.J. Brown's been Maybe I'm forgetting about him, but he hasn't been totally like lights out in terms of it. Amon-Ra, we'll see. Maybe Amon-Ra enters the conversation tonight.
I think he's still young. There's still a lot of players that are developing a little bit more.
Yeah, but
some of them coming up with a few injuries, so we'll see him more like once the season gets a little bit older. And I think after the 8 week, we see where everybody stands.
How do you feel about this stretch for the Rams? We mentioned it before. The Rams have the Eagles, then they got Indianapolis, they get a Baltimore, they get the Niners, they get Baltimore. Like this stretch, 2-2 feels like they got to have 2-2, I think.
I mean, I think they're only one that it could be an easy win is the Niners. But then again, that's always a tough game.
Well, let's dive into the Niners, because that's the big news of the day, is despite the win, the big sports story, top sports story brought to you by Valley Pure, is Nick Bosa out for the year. Torn ACL, clean tear of the ACL. He's out. He's gone. He won't be back until next season. I believe that's the second tear of his ACL, of the same ACL he tore back in, I think, 2020, right?
Is it the same one or the old?
I heard it's the same. I heard it's the same ACL that he tore back in 2020 when he went out with injury at MetLife, I believe, right? But, yeah, I would drastically be concerned about Nick Bosa being gone for the rest of the year for the idea of what the Niners are going to need on their defensive side. And now I think there may be a move potentially in terms of it. He tore his ACL, and he also tore a partial ligament in high school. So this is actually in his career, third torn ACL. I mean, he's due for one every 5 years, I guess, Jorge. That's the joke, if you want to go cruel sick joke in terms of it. Where is your concern level? Do you sit here celebrating this win for the 49ers today on this Monday, or do you sit here sad about a Nick Bosa-less defense, and I wonder what the move could be for the 49ers moving forward with pass rush?
I think the win was celebrated yesterday, and today was just, you know, bad news. Honestly, I mean, he came out on the first half, and the second half was played by a replacement. So if it's got to be a replacement, you know, this next guy up, I think that's been the entire season for the 49ers.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it sucks. There's no other player like him in the NFL, I think. Quite frankly, the first two games that he was in there, he was crucial for the wins for the Niners. So having losing him, it's very difficult. There's got to be some changes to the defense now. And we got to there's something going on there that –
The injuries, man.
Injuries just
keeps piling, man. It's
keep
like
going.
Like, who's next, right?
Either get a new physical therapist. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just bad luck.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, who could be out there trade-wise, edge rusher kind of situation, where the premium would be. Like, is Bradley Chubb somebody to think about from the Miami Dolphins? And is there a trade with the Dolphins out there who are 0-3 at the moment? Or I've heard floated around that you could kick the tires on New York and see if you get a rookie, end-of-year rookie contract at Kayvon Thibodeau and let him walk and rent him for a year as a pass rusher from the Giants. So those are your – those feel like the options in terms of teams right now and kicking around. The Saints have some decent pass rush on their defense, right? In terms of it, there's Cam Jordan potentially out there still just kind of making it happen on the defensive side. Let me see what else they got in terms of that.
I don't.
I like a Carl Granderson personally. I've covered him in Wyoming.
I don't think we have anything to trade for. I think that all the guys that we need right now – We need right now. All the guys that we have, we need right now.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a matter of, you know, just going to what you have.
I just don't think it's enough for you to be saying, because if, Jorge, your goal is Super Bowl, right?
Of course.
How did the Eagles win the Super Bowl was dominant pass rush.
Yeah.
You need a dominant pass rush. Like, that is the new hot thing in the National Football League. And the Niners, unless these rookies step up and really play bigger in terms of on the rush, and maybe that's what they want to wait and see, whatever the next two games can be shown. And let's face it, they're playing the Jags, and the Jags aren't like world beaters at offensive line. They're playing all right, you know. And then you play the Rams, who I wouldn't say are world beaters at the offensive line. You got to see what this defensive line can do against that. But then if you face Maulers down the road, like, I think Tampa's got a really decent line in terms of it, especially when they get some of the guys recovering from injury, or maybe Indianapolis down the road. Who else is on the docket as far as that in terms of what's left on the schedule? But regardless, this injury is going to have ripple effects in terms of what can be capable. Who's won you the last few games, Jorge? Nick Bosa.
I said it, yeah.
What I mean? Like,
there's going to be definitely, you know, a gaping hole right there that's going to, you know, be no one. It's not be no one's going to feel it.
It's brutal, right? Brutal, man. Feel it. It's brutal.
It's something that's going to have to be plugged in and but not filled. You know, there's nobody. Like I said, there's no other player like him right there in the NFL right now.
At least Ricky Pearsall looks like a legit dude.
Yeah, they like how he.
I wasn't accounting for that. I thought he was gonna be good, but he might be great.
That catch where it bounced off his face.
Incredible.
that was legit.
Incredible. Kids got to keep it up, and I think he is currently saving the season on the offensive side.
We finally found a kicker.
Eddie P making it happen.
Finally found a kicker.
Eddie P, man. What'd you say? He should have won. He should have won Ballon d'Or, right? That's what you were talking
about. Ballon d'Or, yeah.
Ballon d'Or.
So Dembélé.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't been Dembélé hasn't been relevant in like 2 years, and he wins it. But you know, whatever.
I want to get Tam your thoughts on the Ballon d'Or. I wonder if Dembélé
be here midweek. I think
tomorrow. So
yeah.
All right. Let's wrap up the show. Let's check in on this Lions-Ravens game before we say goodbye. Head over to me and Ed's Major Wager. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along here on 1430 ESPN. Certainly do. It was last night. Thanks, Jorge, for being in the holiday spirit or whatever you want to call it there in terms of it.
Yeah, it's...
keep it rolling.
September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know?
Certainly. All right, it is a Monday night, which means we got a lot of things on our schedule here. Just a couple of reminders tonight. No Giants baseball. We have the Monday night football game between the Lions and Ravens on Westwood. So 5 p.m. Signing off here momentarily. So listen to some Monday night football, NFL football there coming up in a little bit. We'll have the Giants on tomorrow from San Francisco as they take on the Cardinals. 6:15 pregame with a 6:45 first pitch. A's are home for the Astros. Little reminder, A's can really mess with the Astros season. Wouldn't that be sweet? Astros currently outside looking in on a playoffs. Last time we said that, I think, was 2014, Jorge, when the Astros could have possibly missed the playoffs. So 11 years of the making if the A's want to really play a spoiler. That should be pretty fun over on 790 tomorrow night.
Yeah.
A's, by the way, 4 games back of the Giants, if you care about that, in terms of record against each other.
I mean, they would have to win...
They'd have to win 4, and the Giants would have to lose them all.
All of them.
For the A's to play catch. You don't want that, Jorge. You certainly don't want that.
Well, we do have the Rockies at the end. So
yeah, you do have the Rockies.
That should be pretty good for us.
I
am going to go to the Saturday game. So.
Oh, yeah, you are. Are you going to get that Rafi Devers t-shirt? I think they're giving away a Rafi Devers t-shirt giveaway. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think to everybody. I think it's like the 40,000 fans.
Yeah, I'm gonna take advantage of that.
There you go. All right, let's do our daily spread brought to you by Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino. The daily spread, when you're trying your luck at your teams and they're not giving you the luck you deserve, go to Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino and try your luck there. Taking a look at tonight's game. Last I saw, Ravens 4.5-point favorite at home tonight against Detroit. Is that a little disrespectful to Detroit, Jorge? I think it's a little disrespectful.
A little bit, yeah. But I mean, I guess Detroit hasn't been.
I mean, they destroyed the Bears last time we saw them. They destroyed the Bears.
That's
like,
true.
Absolutely made us reconsider Caleb Williams as a career quarterback.
And then the Cowboys redeemed that.
Cowboys redeemed it. The Ravens won by 31 over the Browns last week as well. So these two teams coming off big blowout wins that I don't know if they totally necessarily learned a whole lot about each other. This one means a whole lot. Who needs it more tonight? That's a big question to it. Detroit, obviously, trailing in the division by a game. They would they would play catch up pretty significantly with the Packers, who everybody was loving on. In terms of Baltimore, that division doesn't seem too tough, even though Pittsburgh's 2-1, Cincy's 2-1, the Browns are 1-2.
Well, Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Rodgers, but, you know. And Cincy doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because, you know. What's the other team? The Browns?
The Browns 1-2, Cincy, yeah, there you go.
So. I guess the Browns is the only one with Flacco.
Does he have a quarterback? Do they have a quarterback? Is that what we're saying?
I think the only one that has a quarterback is the Ravens.
So I think tonight by default, I think the Lions feel like they could probably use this one a little bit more than the Ravens do in terms of.
Yeah, but the Ravens don't want to leave anything on the table.
No, especially when you're going to go down 3-0 to the 3-0 to the Bills, who the Bills have been playing really good football. Feels like the Bills are my kind of one power ranking right now in terms of it.
Definitely.
So that's where I would sit. So I think both teams need it. Should be a lot of fun. 53.5 over under, Jorge. You taking over on the points or under?
I'll go under.
I'm going to go over. This should be fun.
Yeah.
Should be a lot of fun.
Maybe you'll be defensive game.
Yeah. That's Daily Spread brought to you by Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino. Once again, if you can't try your luck with your teams, try your luck over there at Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino. I don't have a bet card in front of me. I did see one of the bets. Carter put the major wager bet of the night.
Carter didn't want to touch any this time.
Carter had the major wager bet of the night. I do recall this. If we get an up-close shot of the Ravens cheerleaders tonight.
Yeah, she made it easier because apparently we made it too hard last two times.
People were losing money. People were losing money. The house was winning a little too much. So tonight might be the night, folks. You want to get down there, see if you can try your luck. Good prizes on the docket as well. Jorge, would you ever go all in on the mystery prize? Or do you think Carter's a little too nefarious with that?
Oh, I've seen people win, like, balloons. I've seen people win pencils.
Could be something or nothing, right, Jorge?
Yeah, it could be something or nothing.
So, all right, that's it. Who's winning tonight, Jorge? Who's winning?
Ravens.
Think I'm going Ravens, too.
It just feels like
Feels like Baltimore. All right, Jorge, good show.
Great show.
We'll be back tomorrow on the 23rd night of September. We'll see you at 3:00 tomorrow. Have a good night. See you at Major Wager. Monday Night Football next.